Don't neglect the greater while doing the good. Number 41 in the Gospel of Luke series. This is an exposition of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, January the 1st, 2017.
Having company. In fact, she loves company, and especially this particular guest. She loved having him in her home. The problem is, every time he came, there was always a crowd. And she could use a little help. I mean, after all, there she is slaving away in the kitchen, trying to get everything just right, and everyone else is in the other room. She put up with it for quite a while, and then when she couldn't take it any longer, she burst into the other room, and she was mid-sentence before she realized what she was doing. She was rebuking the King of the universe. Awkward. And I'm sure there was a moment of stunned silence, a moment that seemed to last an eternity. And then came a loving response from the Savior. Our text this morning is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now, you probably don't realize this, but churches get in fights. And church fights can get really ugly. I remember hearing about a Baptist business meeting that got so out of hand, the members were screaming at each other and throwing hymn books at each other. I guess the reason why churches get in fights and can get ugly is because churches are made up of people. People like you and people like me. The church isn't perfect because we're not perfect. You probably heard about the guy that was shipwrecked for 20 years. 20 years on a deserted island. 20 years all alone. But by the time they found him, he had made a pretty good life for himself. The people were amazed at how well he seemed to be doing, and they noted that he built three structures on the island. So they asked him about him. He said, tell us about these things that you built. He said, well, that's my house, and that one's my church. And they said, well, what about that third one? And he said, well, that's my other church. I had a fight. I'm pretty sure he was Baptist. In this dust-up between Mary and Martha, we can learn something. In their little disagreement, in the little tiff they had, there is something for us as the church, some lessons that can help us avoid some of that same kind of conflict. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened intently to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. As we look at this little dust up, this little disagreement between these sisters, I think there's something important for us. We must not get so caught up in service and good works that we neglect the greater thing, communion with Christ through his word. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted doing good, doing the right thing. If we're not careful, we neglect the great thing. It's early in the history of the church, probably early second century, mid second century, that teaching began to develop around this story about Mary and Martha and taking Mary and Martha to be two different approaches to religious devotion. That there would be those who would be like Martha. They're the ones that go the way of service. They give themselves to practical ministry and practical service to others, and that's the way they show their devotion to God. Then others are like Mary, and they always want to be at Jesus' feet, and they're the contemplative life, and they give themselves to prayer and the reading of the scripture. And so you have two different ways of serving the Lord, two different ways of being devoted to the Lord. The problem is, that whole approach sets up a false dichotomy, sets up a false choice, as if you need to choose one or the other, as if you either need to be actively serving the Lord and serving others, or you need to give yourself to prayer. It's not a matter of either or. It's a matter of both and. It's a matter of giving yourself to both faithful service, practical service, and to prayer and to the study of the Word. To neglect one side or the other is to become unbalanced in our Christian life. Both Mary and Martha were of noble character. Both of them have much to teach us. Three things I want to point out. First of all, it is true. Love and devotion are expressed in different ways. And we got to recognize that. Some of that centers around personalities and just the way you're made up, the way that you're wired. There are different ways of loving and expressing that love. Don't forget the context. The context goes back to chapter 9 and verse 51. When Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, when he was determined because he knew that the strategic moment of his departure had arrived. It's already after the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus met on the mountainside with Moses and Elijah. And you remember they had that conversation together about his exodus, about his departure, about his act of deliverance. So now he is determined to go to Jerusalem. By that, we mean he is determined to fulfill the Father's will. He is determined to go to Jerusalem to die. He has chosen the way of the cross. There's no turning back. And he's marching toward the cross. That's the context. You need to remember that because it comes into play. He stops off at the home of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. And this has been an important home for him. This has been a respite for him. This has been a haven, a sanctuary for our Lord over the life of his earthly ministry. He found love and acceptance in this family. This family was very dear to him. Word reached the family that he was in the area, that he was coming through. So Martha no doubt thought, he needs a good meal. He needs to stop here. He needs to get some rest. And so she invited him for dinner. Both Mary and Martha are devoted followers of Jesus. Both Mary and Martha had heard him teach on numerous occasions. They heard him describe the kingdom of God. They heard him describe his coming. And they both believed. They both were devoted, committed followers of Christ. Maybe it was Martha noticed a weariness about him. And seeing that weariness, her domestic instinct just kicked in. You need a meal. You need food. Come to my home. Sit down at my table. Because nothing is as encouraging as a good meal around a table with warm fellowship and good friends. Come to my house and eat. And so he came. And as they're gathered, Martha did what Martha always did. She went to see about his physical needs. Martha is the embodiment of the teaching of the Apostle Paul found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That's her personality. That's who Martha is. She is a beautiful, nurturing, caring soul. And so she sought to comfort the Lord. So as she invites him to the house, she wants everything to be just right. And so she gets everyone seated, gets them taken care of. Then she rushes off to the market and she gets whatever is needed for that meal. And then she comes home and she starts working in the kitchen and she's washing and she's scrubbing and she's chopping and she's baking and she's determined to have everything just right. Because the Lord needs nourishment. He needs rest. It's important to note that there's nothing wrong with Martha's service. What she did was good, and what she did was right. Meanwhile, while she's scurrying about the kitchen, while she's busy meeting the physical needs of Jesus, her sister Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. That's the most remarkable thing. Given the day, given the culture, that is a remarkable thing. Now, the law did not forbid women from learning the Torah. There wasn't anything in the law that said women shouldn't learn Scripture, that they shouldn't be aware of teaching and theology. But women didn't sit at the feet of rabbis. They would be horrified at such a thing. But there's Mary at the feet of Jesus, hanging on every word. Her posture, sitting at his feet, implies an eagerness and a longing to learn, a desire to know. So she's at his feet, staring lovingly into his face, hanging on every single word. Martha is out in the kitchen. Both women love Jesus. Both are determined to serve him. Both are faithful in their service to Christ. And this is where we need to be careful. Because there's that part of us that just naturally wants to say, wow, Mary's really doing the right thing. I mean, Mary's there hearing Jesus. She's there at the feet of Jesus. That's where we all ought to always be, at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's just in there scurrying about, flittering around the kitchen, dealing with things that aren't really all that important. Careful. That's not the response of Jesus. Jesus did not angrily rebuke Martha for her lack of love and her lack of attention and her lack of service. The only hint of rebuke is her attitude. It's an important distinction. Martha's listening in the kitchen. As she's scurrying about, she's getting bits and pieces of the conversation. She's not scolded for wasting time, because hers was an act of love and devotion, the same as Mary. It's not a matter of choosing whether we want to be active in service or whether we want to commune with Christ. Communion with Christ must find its outlet ultimately in service. And our service must be driven by communion. Our service must be driven by the Word. Communion leads to active obedience, or it's not genuine. And service without a heart devoted is worthless. It's not either or. It's both and. Now, there is a rebuke. There is a problem. That brings us to the second thing I want us to note, and that is the bitter fruit of a distracted service. The bitter fruit of distracted service. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. That's Martha's problem. She is distracted. The word means pulled away. The word means to be dragged away. Now, what does that imply? If she's being pulled away by her service, it implies she wants to be at the feet of Jesus. That's the whole conflict. She has heard enough, and she wants to hear more. And now she's in the room. Now don't get the idea that they're way out there in the other room and she's way at the other end of the house. Small, tiny house. They're just right over there. I hear what's going on in there. And I think every now and then she stopped and listened for a while and then she went back to... But she's distracted. She's pulled in another direction. This is why it's wrong to question Martha's heart or her devotion. She too desires to be at the feet of Jesus, but she is dragged away. She's pulled away by her duty. Yes, she's busy, but not too busy to hear. She heard enough to know she wanted to hear more. So she's smoldering in the other room. She's angry with her sister and her sister's selfishness. Oh, sure, I'm in here slaving away. I'm in here doing the real work. I'm in here getting a meal together. And she's out there enjoying sitting at his feet and hearing every word. That's where I want to be. But because somebody has to be responsible, I'm in here. Can you get the sense of the smolder building? She's angry with her sister because she thinks her sister is selfish. But she's also angry at the Lord for allowing it to go on. And so, I just have to believe that every now and then, she bangs a couple of pots together. And she walks over and stands in the doorway and gives one of those, if looks could kill, stares. And I absolutely am certain she cleared her throat regularly. Making her presence known. And making sure everyone knows she's not happy. And finally, she can't take it anymore. Martha, I think she's one of those people you never had to wonder what she was thinking. I think Martha was always crystal clear about what was going on in her head. And Martha could be blunt. So when she couldn't take it, she stormed into the other room and she let loose. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now tell her to get in there and help me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine speaking to the second person of the Trinity in that way? Can you imagine speaking to God in that tone? Lord, I don't know what you're thinking, but this better stop. Lord, you tell my dear sister to get off her blessed assurance and get in the kitchen and do some work. That's what she's saying. She is angry. Because as far as she can tell, her sister's not carrying her load. Her self-righteous ire caused her to rebuke her sister and instruct God. I wrote in the margin, yikes. You can't imagine. Martha failed to grasp the mystery and the importance of the hour. Remember I told you, don't forget the context. Our Lord is on his way to the cross. Maybe, just maybe, what he needed most was a light meal and their companionship more. Maybe he would have desired Martha's presence more than a big meal, given the context. We're like that sometimes. Confident that we know what our Lord wants and what our Lord needs. And we're sure He needs our service, because we're easily self-deceived. Because secretly we believe that the work of God would really suffer if we didn't do what we do. Convinced the work of God would take a real blow if we ever stop doing what we're doing. The truth of the matter is, our Lord got along just fine before we ever arrived, and He'll do fine when we're gone. But He does desire our presence and our service. Because again, it's not a either or. It's not choosing which way you want to go. It's both and. Martha tried to force Mary to serve Christ her way. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was convinced Mary needed to be in the kitchen, because that's what's important right now. Now, how does this apply to us? How does this work its way into the church? In this way, you and I tend to become focused in those areas where God has put us. And that's not wrong in itself. The problem is when we develop tunnel vision, as if this is all God's doing right now in the world, and I'm leading the train. It comes into the church when we start demanding everyone else share our passion. If your thing is Sunday school, then you're really looked down on. You think they're slackers, they're second-class believers, because they're not in Sunday school, and Sunday school is where it's happening. If you're not in Sunday school and you're not excited about Sunday school like I am, something's wrong with you. Or maybe it's outreach. I'm out there knocking on doors. I don't see you doing that. You must not love Jesus. Maybe it's evangelism. Maybe it's discipleship. Maybe it's theology. Maybe it's prophecy. You got that area that you're all excited about, and that's a wonderful thing, and God is doing great things, and He's showing you something, and you're excited about it. The problem is when you start demanding everyone else in the church share your passion. You be careful. You're falling into the Martha trap. This is all that matters right now. The truth is, Martha was so caught up in the good thing she was doing, she failed to see what really mattered in this moment. That was her problem. She had eyes only for practical service and practical obedience, and did not understand the need for loving service and devotion. Martha's self-appointed responsibility distracted her from what mattered most. Such imposed necessities can smother us, causing our service to become a drudgery. One last thing. Whatever you do, however you serve, give priority to the Word of God. Poor Martha. Caught up in doing good, she lost her way. Her perspective was all off. Because our Lord loved her, He corrected her. But note the tenderness with which he corrected her. You got the scene, right? Jesus, Messiah, Savior, Son of God, the one who was in the beginning with God, the one who was face to face with God, the one by whom everything came into being that has ever come into being, the creator and sustainer of everything, is sitting in the room teaching when Martha interrupted him and lectured him. And note his response. Martha. Oh, Martha. No anger. No fire in his eyes. I think rather a tear trickling down. Martha. Martha. Martha, listen. You're anxious and troubled about many things. You know what he's saying in that? Martha, dear Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things about me. You're anxious and you're upset for my sake. And he's grateful for that. But he said, but Mary has chosen the greater portion. And it's not going to be taken away from her. That is a very loving way to say, girl, back off. I will not tell her to get in the kitchen and help you. She will not be denied sitting at my feet. And I will not be denied the pleasure of her company. She's chosen the greater portion. What was the greater portion? Communion with Christ through his word. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning. You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. There is one great priority. The problem is we're so easily distracted from that priority. We're pulled away from time alone in the Word. We're pulled away from time of communing and fellowshipping with the Lord through his word. Mary has chosen the good portion. This demands a deliberate choice. Priorities don't automatically line up. We have to decide. We have to determine what matters most. And our Lord makes it clear here, what matters most is our time alone with him. By the way, Martha did get it. And I know that because of something that happens a little bit later in the story. Do you remember later their brother Lazarus was sick, and they sent word to Jesus. Lazarus is sick unto death. And you remember what John said? And so having heard that, he waited. And then he went. So that by the time he arrived back to Martha and Mary's house, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He was already in the grave. Here's where we come back to the story. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same old Martha. Blunt, to the point. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Martha makes the great confession. And it's almost word for word the confession of Peter. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And she professed faith in resurrection before the cross and before the resurrection. Martha believed. None of the apostles did. Martha did. And you keep going in the story. And in chapter 12, Mary comes in as Jesus is again at a meal. And she anoints him with costly oil and dries his feet with her hair. And Jesus said, she's anointed me for burial. Both Martha and Mary confessed, believed the cross and the resurrection long before any of the apostles did. They got it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the church can use some more Marthas. And some more Marys. It's not a matter of choosing whether you want to actively serve Christ and show your devotion by loving him and loving others, or if you want to give yourself to prayer. It's both and. Don't get so caught up in doing good you neglect the great thing, communion with Christ and his word. Because service to him that amounts to anything is service that is driven by communion. And communion that's real and genuine will always show itself in active obedience and devotion. So here at the beginning of a new year, as we look out at the year that is ahead of us, let's commit ourselves to prayer, to study of the word, to communion with the Lord, and active, faithful service to him and to his body and to the world around us. Action that's driven, saturated by communion with our God. Don't choose one or the other. It's always both and. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the beauty and the wonder of your word. I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in such a powerful, powerful way. Lord, I pray that here at the beginning of a new year that we, your church, would commit ourselves to communion with you. Faithful, loving, time alone every day with you and your word, saturating our minds and our hearts. And then that saturated life given in faithful service to you, your church, and the world around us. Amen. Father, deliver us from picking and choosing. Grant us faith, courage, and boldness to live as you would have us live, as your people, committed to the kingdom agenda for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris. pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.